website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues on this broadcast. Let me remind you, lest you have forgotten, or perhaps you are just tuning in and you're not familiar with the format of the show and what we do. The entire broadcast is set up, scheduled, and designed around you, our listener. We set the stage, we ask the questions, invite you to call in, joining in the dialogue and discussion, your thoughts, your opinions, your insight and wisdom in relationship to the issue that we're speaking of. We're talking about today an issue that should be on the, most likely is on the hearts and the minds of every listener today. Everyone that's listening to the news, watched the news, watched or read the newspaper today, tragedy in the sky. A major, major, major tragedy in the skies over the Potomac River right there in D.C. We're talking about the Black Hawk chopper and the American Airlines that collided about 9 o'clock last evening, leaving tragedy in the sky. Tragedy, ladies and gentlemen, that's almost unspeakable as we think about the heart. And in fact, all of our hearts and thoughts should go out, and our consolation for those family members that are touched by the tragedy in D.C. We're told that there are no survivors. The collision of a Army Black Hawk chopper and the American Airlines with a total, I think the number is, it's vacillated. I think it's either 67 or 68 total. Suddenly, unexpectedly, lost their lives. All of the officials that have been interviewed, the FAA officials, the Secretary of Transportation, the Mayor of D.C., the chiefs and officials from all of the military, all of the multiple agencies, ladies and gentlemen, all have given their statements and the words. But the top of the list of words from all of the officials are the words of grief, sadness, condolences for the families that lost members in that chopper and in that airplane. Ladies and gentlemen, it brings afresh and anew to the surface. Our lives are just a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. We'll talk about that during the broadcast today. And we'll invite, after a brief monologue, we'll invite you to call. Given your thoughts, your consideration, what happened in your thoughts and your opinions? What could have been done different? Could it have been avoided? Is it something that you would say is poured in concrete? There were no irreversible changes, no reversible changes to be made. Was the collision irreversible, unchangeable? What happened? Will we ever know what took place? What is the lesson to be learned today for you and for me and for all of our listening audience? What is the lesson? What should we learn from it? What should we grasp from the analysis of this event? We'll talk about those things today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, the Bible tells us the truth of the Lord thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, it says, truth of the Lord endures forever. That's unending, without ever ending. May I say to you, we need to recognize truth is truth. It is without any change, without any admixture. It goes back to the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We need to stand on truth, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the politicians say, regardless of what some denominational dogma might say, we need to stand on truth without any admixture or without any change. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, that should be the mantra of our hearts, the realization and the recognition of the brevity of life. And that's one of the key aspects of the whole tragedy that we're talking about today, the brevity of life. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier, 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the tragedy in the sky, I'm looking at a headline that says, air traffic controller's reaction to DC collision revealed in chilling audio. Crash, crash, crash. This is an alert 3. It was a major, major, major scenario. A major crash that we've not seen anything like since about 2009, when a major crash took place in America in airline history. Our hearts go out to those families that have lost loved ones. We need to pray. Pray for them. Pray that God will give them hope and peace and strength in the midst of it. We'll talk about who was on board. We'll talk about the tragedy of this event. We'll talk about who was wrong. Both were in the right flight pattern. Both were following the flight controller's instructions. So what happened? I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question and comment, please.
How are you, Dr. Youngblood?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. First of all, my prayers and condolences to those that lost family members. The Black Hawk helicopter, I don't know if it was National Guard, regular Army, or police department. I've heard all three being stated. I will give my opinion.
It was regular Army, according to the latest report I have.
Was that National Guard or regular Army?
Regular Army.
Yes. The few things that I do know from the 80s and the 90s in my experience with Blackhawks, particularly riding in a lot of them during those time frames, is the Blackhawk itself, whenever it's flying at night, the pilots do not have the full suite like a commercial airliner would as far as being vectored and descent altitude and things like that. Most of the time they're flying with night vision goggles. They have they have all the instrumentation to do instrument flight, but for a helicopter to be crossing into the flight path of landing aircraft across a airfield is a mistake. It could have been that the pilot, two things occur. Whenever you're wearing night vision goggles there, the sense of depth is remarkably reduced in a set of night vision goggles. Two, if a bright light like a strobe or any other type of light flashes while you're wearing these devices there, it'll momentarily white out the screen just a little bit. So it could have been a combination of pilot error and then navigation via night vision goggles, along with being in the wrong area by sheer mistake. Typically, military aircraft usually don't answer to civilian air traffic control, because typically they've got very set lanes of flight, very defined areas where they train at, and very defined air corridors. So what I'm thinking right now is error on the helicopter straying into that commercial aircraft zone for landing.
You're probably exactly right. Now, here's my problem, and I'm glad you called in, because you could probably answer some of the technical questions that I cannot. I understand, and I've read 18 articles, pretty in-depth research this morning in relationship to the crash. And I'm told by those articles, flight control, et cetera, that both were on their proper flight pattern. Proper flight pattern. In fact, about 3 seconds before the collision, the transmission from the control tower was this: do you have the flight? Gave the plane's ID number. Do you have the flight in sight? The chopper pilot saying, we have aircraft in sight. Request visual separation. And the flight controller then, with the next transmission, says, go behind flight, whatever the flight number was. So that tells me that the flight controller didn't say you're on the wrong path, you need to do this, you need to just pass. The statement was pass behind flight the American airline. So that tells me, and you correct me or give insight that I don't see on this, that tells me that if that chopper had simply paused speed by a nanosecond, or sped up by a nanosecond, they could have gone before the flight or after the flight, but they intersected head on because of the speed. And here's my question. American Airlines, it's on doing about 120 miles an hour, 140 miles an hour in its glide path for landing. It was about 120 feet over the Potomac River, over the water, making its glide path right into DCA Airport Reagan to land. In my opinion, there was no way there could have been any aborting of that landing by the pilot of the airplane. So with those... with that data that I've just quoted from the documents I've read, what could have been done? Could it have been avoided? Could the pilot and the chopper have done anything different?
Well, let's use some real world example. I have a little bit of aviation knowledge here, probably not enough as Tom does, because Tom's actually a certified pilot there. He would probably, I hope he's listening, he may call in. But let's say you've got an aircraft landing on 045, which is northeast, and this guy's coming across, he's coming out across at 320, which is kind of back to your northwest. And you know that they're going to cross paths, and the air traffic controller tells him to turn to 270, which would put him due west, which would put him behind it. But instead of slewing to due west, he gets disorientated, because you're not doing what they call visual flight reference there. You don't have visual. You're doing what they call instrument flight. And he turns that yoke the wrong way. Because on a helicopter, you control your yaw, or in other words, your left-right motion, via the amount that the tail rotor is going to either push against or pull against. Because you're going to have that, the rotation of the blades is always going to want to turn the helicopter in the direction that the rotor blades are going. So it might be the condition where you're like steering a boat, where if you go left on the tiller, it goes right, and vice versa. I think that's how it works in a helicopter. I'm not 100% sure. But if he inadvertently does it the wrong way just for that split second, I mean, how in the world would they have a military helicopter flying anywhere near what you would call an approach vector for any commercial airport is just astounding to me. That part I don't understand at all.
That's my question. if you could look at the oscilloscope or the flight controllers in the tower with the planes, they probably had, what would you say, 100 blurbs on the blips on the screen with the planes, the flight choppers and planes in the air at any given time in that immediate bubble. And to allow a flight pattern to crisscross a flight pattern for the incoming planes is just beyond, it staggers my imagination. I can't fathom it. But yet, as I understand it in the assimilation of articles and reading on that, both were in the right flight pattern, according to the flight controller, their flight pattern that they were on. But it was regular military. They were in regular training. And when they talk about training, it's not talking about taking greenhorn pilots and putting them up there training them how to fly. It was regular flight training in preparation for any flight that they would have to go into, or any program they'd have to go into based on their military need. Jim, let me ask you to do this. If you've got time, hang in there so we can come back to you for some questions and comments on this. I believe we have Congressman Mike Hill on the line. Mike, go ahead with your question or comments, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Of course, this is just a tragedy. Mm-hmm. I have flown into Washington, D.C. many times, into Reagan National, and have flown over that river, close to the river. There have been many times when I have been in Washington, D.C., where I will look up and all of a sudden you would see one of these helicopters flying overhead. And you know it's because they are carrying a VIP in that helicopter. Not just anyone flies in that airspace, especially on a helicopter. So you know there's a VIP in there. This incident that happened, of course, tragic and just horrific. You think of the families that are all involved. And what was taking place, of course, was this training mission for the military, whose primary purpose is to transport the VIPs from around that D.C. area and to surrounding areas. So this was a training mission that was going on. From what I read, the aircraft was asked to divert to a shorter runway, which they agreed to do, and they did. So they were all going in their normal flight path patterns. The mix-up, where if it was to occur, more than likely was in the control tower. Someone made a tragic error there of sending these two flights on that collision course. And it's just, it's a shame. It's a tragedy. Of course, we have to pray for the families, for those who are all affected by this. And one verse that always comes to mind for me, Dr. Youngblood, whenever there is a death, and that is part of our existence here on earth, it is death. It's the verse from Psalm 116:15, which says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Mm-hmm. So it is precious to God when his saints pass away. It is precious to him when he sees the tears of the families. It's precious to him when he sees the grief that goes on afterwards. And praise God, death has lost its sting because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and all who accept him as their Savior.
Amen. And when you look at the James text, it talks about, I'm going to paraphrase, that we're not to boast ourselves of what we're doing tomorrow, for we do not know what tomorrow holds, that our life is as a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. And so the tragedy is still real, but the reality is death is sure. death is sure for each and every one of us. And as you said, one of the things that we need to grasp hold of and look at very carefully is how short life is, the brevity of life, and to realize that God is in control. Congressman, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your interest and your insight. Question that I ask, an exit question, if you will. From what you've read, what you've reviewed, from the human perspective, was there a way to avoid this tragedy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. This should have been avoided. It should not have happened. And again, I would say you would have to look at what was going on in the control tower that had these aircraft directed on that collision course. And of course, they'll get to the bottom of that. But it absolutely could have and should have been avoided. This did not have to happen. It is very rare in the United States to where we would have air accidents that result in death. From what I read, the last time was in 2009.
Correct.
So it's very rare that it happens. But when it does happen, it is a tragedy. It's terrible. And of course, you have to investigate to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of this. And I believe what they're going to find was it was human error in the air traffic controller tower that had them directed on this same path.
Absolutely. When I read where the flight controller says pass behind that flight number, that says that the flight controller knew that they were on the same, pathway, the same level, the same altitude, etc. But it was a way of saying, slow down, let the other plane pass, or speed up. That's my opinion. If I had been in that position hearing that, it would mean, hey, I've got to make sure that plane goes in front of me before I go any further. And by the way, one final thing. I'm looking at an article that is sad about that. U.S. Figure Skating has indicated that members of its community were on the airplane. U.S. Figure Skating can confirm that several members of our skating community were sadly aboard the American Flight 5342, which collided with the helicopter yesterday evening. The athletes, the coaches, and some family members were returning home from the National Development Camp held in conjunction with the U.S. Figure Skating Championship in Wichita, Kansas, U.S. Figure Skating noted. And by the way, it had, as I understand it, some figure skaters from Russia also aboard in that flight. So it is a double tragedy. It's bad enough for anyone to die in a tragic scenario like that, but it's a double tragedy when you find it was the team of young people, younger people in particular, that were headed back from skating championships. Congressman Hill, it deserves all of our prayer. And the realization and the recognition that as you go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it tells us that there's a time for living, there's a time for dying, and this is the time. We can't understand it. God is sovereign. God's on the throne. But when we look at it from a human tragedy, we call it a tragedy. But as you said in reading the text, in God's sight, God sees it as a wonderful thing that he's bringing his children home. And I'm thankful for that. It's a time of joy and hope and peace, especially for every family member that has the assurance and they know that their loved one knew Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Congressman, thank you so much. Have a blessed day as you continue to serve the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for your call. Jim, I believe you're there. What are your thoughts in the conversation that we had with Congressman Hill, his insight? How do you see that?
He's very well. I would agree with his statement. The air traffic controller did, it's established that the aircraft controller told him to go to the rear. At that point, it puts the onus on the pilot to turn his aircraft. But once again, I'm still going to come back to the Army pilot. He was probably flying instrumentation. Well, he's definitely flying instrument. He was probably had night vision goggles on. If you've ever looked at any plane landing, you got a port, a starboard, and a tail light. Plus, they've got landing lights on. So there would have been a lot of visual light that would have been in front of him, and he may have misjudged. But, you know, the air traffic controller, ultimately, he's the one that's responsible for vectoring aircraft to keep them from colliding. I know it's a stressful job. I remember the debacle back in the 80s when Ronald Reagan had to get rid of a lot of them. And I remember reading multiple articles in regards to the stress levels that these people are under every day during their shifts. And it's an awesome responsibility.
I've watched some of them. Jim, I've watched some of them at the flight control. I couldn't handle it.
No, I couldn't either.
That stress, as you touched on, I don't see how they sleep at night. I'm looking at the headline, though. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs in this article to get your take on it. No survivors expected after plane carrying 64 crashes near Washington. No survivors are expected in the crash involving this plane, 64 people, and a military helicopter at near Ronald Reagan National Airport. The Federal Aviation Administration confirmed in a statement that the plane and the helicopter collided in the skies about 9 p.m. last evening. American Eagle Flight 5342, operated by PSA Airlines, which is a subsidiary of American Airlines, was carrying 60 passengers and four crew members making an approach to land at Reagan Airport in Crystal City, Virginia, after 5 miles, about 5 miles from Washington. The plane had departed from Wichita, Kansas. Audio from the live@atc.net. That is the flight control source for the in-flight recording, captured what appears to be the final communication between the three crew members of the helicopter. They normally would have four, one on each side in the aft seat, looking out from both sides. By the way, in listening to the reports, live reports from FAA and from the all of the authorities that were going through the microphone, speaking, I watched quite a bit of that this morning. They were not certain if they had the night flight goggles on or not. I would hope that they did in the position they were in, but they were not certain when that question was asked. But this article goes on. It's between the three crew members of the helicopter, call sign PAT-25, before it collided with the plane, which was referred to as CRJ in the recording. PAT-25, do you have CRJ in sight? Question. PAT-25 passed behind the CRJ, an air traffic controller said, at 8:47 p.m. on Wednesday. This was about 3 seconds in time frame. Seconds later, another aircraft called in to the air flight controller saying, "Tower, did you see that? Did you see that?" and tells them about watching from the air as the plane and the chopper collided. So now, with that being said, it goes back to my premise. It goes back to what Congressman Hill just said about the flight controller. It goes back to what you and I have discussed. It was either a flight controller error or a chopper pilot error. And either one of them, we're looking at nanoseconds. Now, my question is, why such a late, transmission from the flight tower of the warning? With given any maneuver to change the trajectory of that chopper, it would have taken more than 3 seconds to do so. For the movement from the control yoke in the chopper to the movement of the chopper would have taken more than 3 seconds. It was about 3 seconds from the time there was a heads up that there's a problem. We've got about a minute before the top of the hour news break. Take that time, Jim, and just express your thoughts on it.
It could be a combination of all things. One of the things the United States military concentrated on the most when Ronald Reagan came in office, and since Vietnam, was night operations, and they're typically much, much more difficult. You want to do something during the day, try doing it during the night.
Yes. Major, major difference. Jim, yes. Thank you, brother, so much for your call, for your insight. It's very valuable and helpful for the broadcast today. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back. right after the news.
First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL.